Today's daf is Yuma Daf Hey, and we are 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Dalid Amid Beis, Michlal de Travayu Sfirulu. Today's daf has been learned as Eschos Refuah Shalema, for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avadi ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Shoshana Bracha, and Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel. Today's daf has been learned as Eschos, V'yecheskel Shragi ben Miril, and today's daf has been learned, Le'ilui Nishmas, Avram ben Yibadu L'chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So the theme of the beginning of Masechtas Yuma is going to continue, and that is the first line of the Masechta. Shivat Yomim Koidim Yom HaKippurim Mafrishin Koyin Gadol Mibesoy Lelishkas Parhechin. 7 days before Yom Kippur, they would come, take the Koyin Gadol, whose job it was to do the Avoida on Yom Kippur, separate him from his family, bring him into a Lishka, into a chamber that was in the Azara. The name of the chamber was Lishkas Parhedrin. The Gemara said that there's another Mishnah in Shas that teaches us a very similar halacha. Shivas yomim koidim sreifas haparo, hayu mafrishin koyin asreifas haparo, mi beisoy, lelishkas beisoyef. 7 days before a parah aduma was born, they would take the Kohen, whose job it was to burn the Parah Aduma, again separate him from his house, bring him into a Lishka that was in the Azara, not the Lishkas Parhedrin, but rather the Lishkas Beis HaEved. And the Gemara said, Minohani Mili. And after learning the first three dafin of Masechtas Yuma, we know that it's a Machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said the Makar is the Parsha of the Miluim. It says that before Yoim Hashmini, Aharon Uvanov had to be separated in the Oyel Moed for 7 days. And in that parsha that talks about Aharon Uvanov, who had to be separated for 7 days, the Torah throws in one line, Kashet Asa Bayoim Hazeh, Tziva Hashem Lasis L'chaper Aleichem. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Lasis is a reference to Parah Aduma, L'chaper is a reference to Yom Kippur, and that teaches us that not only 7 days before Vayhi Bayoim Hashmini, but also 7 days before Yom Kippur, and also 7 days before the Kohen was Soref as Sapara, there was a halacha of Prishas Shivas Yom. Rish Lakish said, the Makar is not the Parsha of the Miluim, but rather the Makar is Maimed Har Sinai. Immediately following the Aseres HaDibros, immediately following the event that was Maimed Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to remain on the mountain. Cloud covered Moshe Rabbeinu for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Shechina called out to Moshe Rabbeinu and told Moshe to go up to Shemayim. Those were the first 6 of the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu would spend in Shemayim. And Rish Lakish said that why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to be on the mountain to hispoide this for a 6-day period? The Lamedcha said, Rish Lakish, it's coming to teach us that any person that enters Machne Shechina, before he enters, he needs to separate himself. He needs to prepare himself for entering Machne Shechina. And this is the Makar to the Halach of 7 days before Yom Kippur and 7 days before Sreifas HaPara, the Kohen, whose job it was to do the Avoida, had to be separate. So the Gemara said, if this is the Makar, then why is it 7 days and not 6 days? So the Gemara said that once we separate for 6 days, we tack on a seventh day just to be sure that this person won't be a Bayol Nida, because a Bayol Nida would be Tameh for 7 days. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Makar to the Din Prisha Zayin Yamin is the Parish of the Miluin. According to Reish Lakish, the Makar is the Halach of Maimed Har Sinai. So today's daf is going to begin on the topic of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but it's immediately going to digress, and the digression is going to take us through the entire daf. And the topic of today's daf, the digression that is going to be the Parsha of the Miluim. So I think it's kedai just to begin with a little bit of an introduction that discusses just the basic concept of what exactly the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim were. So the first day that Aharon Uvanov did the Avoida in the Mishkan was Bayoim Hashmini. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why then was it Bayoim Hashmini? Because even though this was the first day that Aharon Uvanov did the Avoida, but the Avoida had been done already for 7 days. It wasn't Aharon and his sons doing the Avoida, but rather it was Moshe Rabbeinu doing the Avoida. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to one mandama, was a Kohen, maybe even a Kohen Gadol, maybe he was a Tzar. Either way, fact, Pesukim in the Torah, the first 7 days of the existence of the Mishkan, the Avoida was not done by Aharon Uvana, but rather the Avoda was done by Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, where was Aharon during those 7 days? Aharon was in the Ohel Moed. So during those 7 days that Moshe was doing the Avoda, Aharon was in the Ohel Moed. And those 7 days go down in history as the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. So what does Miluim even mean? We hear this term so often. What's the taich of the word Shivas Yemei HaMiluim? So it's a Rashi in Chumash and Parashas Tetzaveh. Rashi says, Kol Milu Yodayin Loshin Chinuchu. The definition of the word Miluim is Chinuch, as in inauguration. Miloshin Chanukah. Chanukah Samizbeach, Chanukah Sabayis. It's inauguration. And these were 7 days of inauguration. And during these 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu told Aharon Uvanov to observe, and they had to watch, and this was their chinuch, so to speak. This was the time that they were going to learn. So like this, when it's time for them to be able to do the Avodah, they would do the Avodah. Now, in addition to Aharon Uvanov having the 7 day training before they're ready, Vahibayim Hashmini, to do the Avodah, there were special karbanos that were brought during these 7 days. The Gemara discusses in many places, but really the Makara Psukim in the Torah. In fact, the very intricate, the very complex Seder Avoda that took place during these 7 days is discussed in the Torah not once, twice. Both times they're sort of tucked away. The first time is in the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. The second time is in the end of Parshas Tzav. Now, why is it discussed in the Torah twice? Very simple. Tetzaveh discusses Hashem telling Moshe what Moshe should do during the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. Tzav is the execution. That's when it actually happened. So Tetzaveh would be the equivalent of Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa, where the Torah talks about what is supposed to happen when it comes time to building the Mishkan. Tzav would be the equivalent of Ayaku Pekudeh, when it actually happened. So the parish of the Miluim is actually discussed twice. It's in Parashas Tetzaveh, and it's in Parashas Tzav. And the Torah talks about all the different karbonos, the par, and the ayil, and the other ayil, and the fact that for all 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu had to take dam, and he had to smear it on Aharon, and he had to take oil, u'mashachta oisam bashemen, and they had it with special begadim. And everything that happened is discussed in the Torah, not once, twice. There are some shinuyim between the two parashiyas, and the Gemara is going to touch on it a little bit in today's daf. But from a super high level, that's what the miluim were. The taich of Shivas Yemei HaMiluim means 7 days of chinuch, 7 days of inauguration. Aharon during those 7 days was being taught, like a father's mechanech a child. He was teaching them exactly how they're supposed to do the avoida. There were many karbanos. There was a lot of avoida that was done during those 7 days. Avoida that was not repeated on a regular basis in the Beis HaMikdash. The definition of those avoidos were miluin. That's what it's referred to in the vernacular. Who did those avoidos? If it wasn't Aharon Uvanov, so who was the Kohen? Who was the Kohen Gadol? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to, could have, would have, should have been the Kohen Gadol. In general, he lost out, but at the same time, 7 days he got. And the 7 days that he got played themselves out in succession. These were the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not the karbonis of the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim would repeat themselves at any point in history or not. And this, it's important pshat in today's daf. This isn't a rebite. It's Pashat Nogeya, the Havana of the Gemara today. The Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he goes through the Shroshim, the fundamental principles of what he deems a mitzvah, not a mitzvah. So in the Shurish HaShlishni, the third rule of Sefer HaMitzvah, says the Rambam, Ein roi limnois mitzvois she'eino noyagin l'doiros. Any mitzvah that's not going to repeat itself in future generations, even if in the Torah itself it was a mitzvah, it doesn't count as it relates to the 613 mitzvahs. And the Rambam says a beautiful pshat. He says, because the Gemara says in the end of Masechtas Makkos, how do we know 613 mitzvahs? What's the makar? Doesn't say it in the Torah anywhere. It's really Torah Sheba'al Peh. So what's the makar? So the Gemara says, Dorash Rab Simloi, it says, Torah Siva Lanu Moshe Moirasha Kehilas Yaakov. The word Torah is the gematria of 611. So Rav Samloi said, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Torah, 611 mitzvahs. We know Anoichi V'Layilcha, the first two of the Aseres Hadibros, Mipiak V'Roshamanim, that we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's back to the envelope arithmetic. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. 611 mitzvahs we heard from Moshe. Anoichi V'Layilcha, another two we heard, Mipiak V'Ro, 611 plus 2 is 613. So the Gemara says, that's the Makar, that's how we know that there are 613 mitzvahs. Says the Rambam, if this pasuk is the source to 613 mitzvahs, we can make a diak. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Mayrosha Kehilas Yaakov. What does the word Mayrosha mean? It's Miloshin Yerusha. Any mitzvah that's an inheritance, any mitzvah that's a Yerusha, any mitzvah that wasn't only negeya that time that the mitzvah was given, but rather it's something that continues into perpetuity. It's mayrusha, it's a yerusha. It's something that a father gives over to his son. That counts as a mitzvah. Torah 611, which is the pasuk that teaches us 613 mitzvahs, is only a mitzvah if it's mayrusha kilas Yaakov. So if it's something that goes over biyerusha. So this sounds a little bit like a drush. It's the Lashon HaRambam in the Shroshim. Shirish HaShlishi. So the Rambam says that based on this diik of mayrusha kilas Yaakov, a roi limnois mitzvah she'en anayag in l'dayris. And then the Rambam goes on to describe different mitzvahs that don't count. And one of the mitzvahs, the Rambam says, doesn't count because it wasn't Meirosh Akilas Yaakov, is the mitzvah of the Miluim. Miluim was a one-time event. It happened when it happened, the last 7 days of Chodesh Adar, right before Vahiba Yei Mashmini, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's not something that's ever going to repeat itself. And that's why the Rambam says, in my Sefer HaMitzvahs, I'm not going to count Miluim. Even though there were special karbonos and special mitzvahs that were associated with Miluim. So you would think that the parasha of the Miluim, at the very least, would count as one mitzvah. But says the Rambam, I don't count it as a mitzvah. And the reason I don't count it like a mitzvah is because it's not Meirosh Akilas Yaakov. It's not something that has any hemshech l'dayrus. But the Ramban argues. The Ramban wrote a hasaga on the Rambam's shroshim in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And in the hasagas of the Ramban says, I disagree. I don't think that's true. I think that if there was ever a time where the situation is similar to what it was, Vayihi b'yayim hashmini, there would be miluim again. So for example, Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. That's pretty similar, comparable to when the Mishkan was erected. In the times of Ezra, when they built Bayis Sheni, La'asad lavoi b'mheira b'yameinu amen v'amen, says the Ramban. Kemat, that's his lashon. When the Beis HaMikdash will be built again, there'll be a parasha of Miluim. Now, the Ramban has the yukin from Gemara is that the parasha of the Miluim then won't be identical to the parasha of the Miluim now. But to say that the concept of Miluim is nitkan mitzvah, why? Because it's not Meirosh Akilas Yaakov. So the Ramban says that even if I agree with the principle, with the shayrish of the Ramban, the concept that a mitzvah has to be Meirosh, Torah, that's the source of the halach of 613 mitzvahs, and it says Meirosh Akilas Yaakov. But whereas the Rambam held it wasn't really Meirosh Akilas Yaakov, says the Ramban, I think the parsha of the Miluim, or at the very least some variation of it, would be considered Meirosh Akilas Yaakov. So what does this machlokes Rambam and Ramban have to do with today's daf? So in Emol, we'll see right at the beginning of the sugya. But the Gemara really picks up, referring back to a shakla v'tayu that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish had on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Again, Rabbi Yochanan said, "What's the makor to shivat yomim? Koydim yom Kippurim, Afrishin koyin galavim beis." So it's learned out from the Miluim. Reish Lakish said, "What's the makor to shivat yomim? It's learned out from Maimon Har Sinai." So the Gemara said that Reish Lakish turned to Rabbi Yochanan and he said, "Rabbi Yochanan, if you're right, if the makor to this halacha is from the parasha of the Miluim, then just like everything in the parasha of the Miluim is ma'akev, shivat yomim." Koydim Yom HaKippurim should also be ma'akev. Because everything that happened in the Miluim had to happen. It was all ma'akev. So if that was ma'akev, then you would think that this should be ma'akev as well. What was the kasha? We know for sure that it was not ma'akev. How do we know that? Because the Mishnah says that they appointed a backup Kohen Gadol just in case something happened to the primary Kohen Gadol, and it doesn't say that they used to separate him. In fact, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol umaskinin loy Kohen Acher. It's a different lashon. It's a different sprach. So it sounds like they didn't separate him. If the makar is miluim, it should be ma'akev. So Bishlam, according to me, kol anichnas ma'achne shchina tam prisha shisha. So it's not ma'akev. So the Kohen Gadol, they did it too. The backup Kohen Gadol. What are the chances that we're going to need him anyways? And worst case scenario, it's not ma'akiv, so no worries. But if the makar is miluim, everything is miluim. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan heard what he had to say, and Rabbi Yochanan sort of ignored it. But the point is, says the Gemara, that michlal, one thing you see from the back and forth between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, from Reish Lakish's question, and from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan didn't respond to the question. You know what you see? The travayu sfirlu, that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are of the opinion that miluim kolakasa b'makron, that everything it says in the parasha of the miluim is ma'akev for the parasha of the miluim. In other words, from the fact that Reish Lakish made this assumption in his question, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't knock it down. He accepted the assumption. You see from there that the assumption was correct. Or at the very least, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both thought that the assumption was correct. That everything that it said in the parasha of the Miluim was ma'akev. Why are we even discussing this? The Itmar. Because we have a Mesoira, Miluim, as it relates to the Miluim. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. It was a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Chadam on one said, kol ha-kosabem ma'akevem. Everything that it says in the parasha of the Miluim is ma'akev in the parasha of the Miluim. Chadam on the other one said, Dovar ma'akev l'doyres is ma'akev behem. She'ein ma'akev l'dayrus, ein ma'akev. Not everything in the parish of the miluim is ma'akev. Any avodah that was done in the miluim, which you find l'dayrus in different karbonos, is ma'akev. So it would be ma'akev by the miluim as well. But dover she'ein ma'akev l'dayrus, something that's not ma'akev l'dayrus, won't be ma'akev. So just to complete the thought, and then we'll explain. T'stayim d'Rabbi Yochanan d'Amar kolakosim ben ma'akev. L'churif, it's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Chanina. One said one way, one said the other way. We don't know who said everything is ma'akev and who said not everything is ma'akev. So the Gemara says, from the aforementioned exchange, we're just repeating. The Gemara's being very wordy. You see clearly it's Rabbi Yochanan that old everything is ma'akev. It's Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan a question that according to that the Makar to Prisha Shiva is from the Miluim. By Miluim, everything is ma'akev. So here too it should be ma'akev. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't answer. Stai must be. Rabbi Yochanan agreed to Rish Lakish. So you see, Rabbi Yochanan for sure holds that everything in the Miluim is the ma'akev. He agreed with the assumption of Rish Lakish. So if we know that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina debated it, and we don't know who held what? Well, this Gemara is a clue. This Gemara would seem to be a source that really, it's Rabbi Yochanan that holds that everything is a ma'akev. So the Gemara now is going to discuss this point. This machloik is between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina as it relates to the parsha of the Miluim. Do we say that everything in the parsha of the Miluim was ma'akev? Or do we not necessarily say that everything in the parsha of the Miluim was ma'akev? So just to speak out the machloik is a little bit better. When it comes to kachim, so every carbon has a whole Shulchan Aruch of how you're supposed to bring the carbon. Stating that, of that Shulchan Aruch, some of the details are ma'akev, you have to do. If you don't do it, you have to bring the carbon again. If you don't do it, you don't get your kapar. Some of the details are not ma'akev. So for example, shchita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika, these things are ma'akev in a carbon. Haktara se'murim is not ma'akev in a carbon. Smicha, for example, is not ma'akev in a carbon. So there are things that are ma'akev and there are things that are not ma'akev. The Amiram would not sure, as it relates to the miluim, was everything ma'akev? Or was not everything ma'akev? Was everything ma'akev? Do we say that the miluim was different than other karbanos? That over here, every single thing that's mentioned in parashas tzav, and every single thing that's mentioned in parashas tzav is ma'akev? Or no, it's like a regular karbon, it's like a chatas. So chatas, some things are ma'akev and some things are not ma'akev. So to over here, some things yes, some things not. How do you know? What's the way for us to know whether something's ma'akev or not? Take the avodah, apply it to another carbon, l'dayrus, would it be ma'akev or not? So any avodah which you find l'dayrus by other karbanos was ma'akev, by the malum, we'll assume was ma'akev. Any avodah that was not ma'akev, we'll assume is not ma'akev. That's the machloikis. One mandama said everything by the malum was ma'akev, and one mandama said not everything was ma'akev. Now the truth is, before we go weiter, how do you even read this Gemara? It's a funny question. We're asking ourselves now, if 3,000 years ago, was everything ma'akev or was not everything ma'akev? May the hava. L'chura, this is all bygones. It all happened. So was it ma'akev or not? Let's assume that Moshe Rabbeinu probably did all the... What, we're going to have a whole daf Gemara now that's going to discuss what the halacha would have been had one of the avoidas and parashas tetzav and parashas tzav been omitted? Maybe, you can learn that way. But loiter Ramban that we spoke at in the introduction, this Gemara is a lot geschmacker. Because really, this is a halacha l'doiris. This is something that would repeat itself in future generations. So we have to know how we treat avoidus of miluim. If avoidus of miluim are the same as all avoidus, so whatever's usually ma'akev will be ma'akev. Whatever's not usually ma'akev won't be ma'akev. If miluim is different, kol ha'kosav behem ma'akev, everything is ma'akev for whatever reason. The Gemara will be looking for it later. But if there's an idea that everything is ma'akev, oh, so then it's very important. So like the Rambam, that miluim was a one-time event. That's why the Rambam doesn't count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs, because it fails. Which one of the shrashim does a trip? The Shairish HaShlishi, it's not Noeg L'dayrus, because it's not Meirosh HaKilas Yaakov. So then really, this Gemara is just discussing something that happened once upon a time, and you know, what could have, would have, should have been. But according to the Ramban, this is a real halachic discussion. This is a parasha in the Torah that can repeat itself, that did repeat itself, albeit very infrequently, but at the same time, it's halacha l'dayrus. And based on that, this is something that we have to know. So the Gemara begins and says, "My b'nei, what's the nafkimina between these two pshatim? What's the nafkimina if you hold everything is ma'akev or only certain things are ma'akev?" I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, "Smicha ikimina, the nafkimina would be smicha. Smicha is one of the mitzvahs that were done, but that was not ma'akev. What's smicha? The bal ha'karben, whoever owns the carbon, has to go to the animal, he has to lean on it with all his might, it's a mitzvah. The man that call a kasa ma'akev b'hem kunt. The man that says that everything in the meluim is ma'akev, smicha ma'akev. Smicha will be ma'akev. The man that doves shein ma'akev will there say ma'akev. But kunt in the man that says that anything that's not ma'akev in other karbonos is not going to be ma'akev here either. Smicha loy ma'akev. So then smicha is not going to be ma'akev because smicha is not something that's generally ma'akev. Says the gemara, how do you know? Uledayrois minolon the loy ma'akev. What's the source that smicha is usually not ma'akev? The tanya it's a brisa. It says in the Torah. The Gemara brings the abbreviated version of it. So why did the Torah talk as if the smicha is an integral part of the kapara? It's coming to teach us. If a person treated smicha as if it's shirayim, he treated it as if it's not important. The Torah treats it as if he didn't get kapara. But the truth is, wink, wink, the keeper. He really got kapara. Of course, only dam is ma'akiv. Smicha is not ma'akiv. The Torah just said that if you're of a sum, if you didn't do smicha, then it's ki'ilu loy keeper. Because in the world of ki'ilu, we know a lot about that. In the world of ki'ilu, there's an idea of v'samach v'nirtza. But it's not really ma'akiv. So what's really ma'akiv is the dam. Bottom line is, smicha is not ma'akiv. So if you hold everything that it says in the meluim is ma'akiv, smicha by the meluim will also be ma'akiv. If you hold only something that's ma'akiv l'doiris is ma'akiv, smicha was not ma'akiv l'doiris, and therefore it wouldn't be ma'akiv. Nachma Yitzchak said, I have a different nafkamina. Tenufa ikibeinayim. The nafkamina would be tenufa. So what's tenufa? There were certain karbonos where there was a halacha that the owner of the carbon and the kayan together would have to lift, and they would do nanuim like you do with your lulav. So there would be some form of nanuim that would done with certain chalakim of certain carbonis. Now tnufa is featured prominently in the psukim of the meluim. If you mava sedra, it's very clear. So the Rav Nachum Yitzchak said, was tnufa by the meluim ma'akev? Mandam akolakos by ma'akev b'mkun. Mandam that says that everything in the meluim is ma'akev. Ma'akev will be ma'akev. Mandam atovachei ma'akev l'doris. Ma'akev b'mkun. Mandam that says that something that wouldn't be ma'akev in future doris is not ma'akif. Why ma'akif? It wouldn't be ma'akif. Meaning, we're assuming that tenufa generally is not ma'akif. So the Gemara says, well, there's another way ma'akif. How do you know that tenufa is usually not ma'akif? The Tanya learned in a braisa, le tenufa lechaper. It says in the Torah, clearly, le tenufa lechaper, talking about a specific carbon that requires tenufa, and the Torah says, tenufa lechaper. V'chi tenufa mechaperes. V'aloi in kapar, elu badam, shenami ki adamu benefesh yichaper. Ma tamaloi mit tenufa lechaper. Why did it say tenufa mechaper? Tenufa is not ma'akiv, shemasol le tenufa, shiori mitzvah, ma'alo levakosu, kidu lekeeper vekeeper. The same teretz that we said for smicha. Of course, tenufa is not ma'akiv. But at the same time, if you don't do tenufa, you don't want to do tenufa, to you it's shiori mitzvah, you're not worried about it, you'll do what you need to do, be not worried about the shirayim. It's ma'al all of our kosev ki'ilu. Again, emphasis on ki'ilu loy keeper. So tenufa is ma'akiv in the ki'ilu. But really, it's not ma'akiv kapara. So tenufa is not ma'akiv kapara. So if only things that are generally ma'akiv were ma'akiv by milum, tenufa wouldn't be ma'akiv by milum. If everything was ma'akiv by milum, then tenufa would be ma'akiv by kilu. Rav Papa said a third teretz, and this is really our sugya. Prisha shiva ikibeinayu. You want to know the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina? Whether everything that it says in the parsha milum is ma'akiv, or only things that are ma'akiv l'doris are ma'akiv. Prisha shiva. The idea that Aharon Uvanov had to be separated in the Ayil Moed for 7 days. Is that ma'akev or is that not ma'akev? The man that calls about ma'akev, the man that says that everything is ma'akev, ma'akev, it's going to be ma'akev. The man that says that ma'akev l'dor is ma'akev, but according to the man that says that this is not an idea, anything that's not ma'akev l'dor is not ma'akev, loy ma'akev, l'dor is not loy ma'akev. How do you know that Prisha Shiva l'dor is not ma'akev? Midikotani maskinon. For like Tani Mafrishin, from the fact that the Mishnah says that they would separate a skan kohen gadol, but they didn't separate him for 7 days. What do you see from there? That separating for 7 days is not something that's ma'akiv l'dayrus. So we have three nafkiminas so far in this machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Everything in the bloom is ma'akiv, or only things that were ma'akiv l'dayrus. Smicha, tenufa, and prisha shiva. These are things that the Torah mentioned in miluim, but things that, as it relates to future generations, Lashon of the Gemara, L'dayrus, but really all other karbonos are things that are not ma'akev. Ravina said a fourth pshat. He said, Ribui shiva u'meshicha shiva ikobeinayo. During the 7 days of the miluin, Aharon Uvanov, for all 7 days, had to wear their respective begadim. Aharon, the Shmoyna begadim, and Aharon's sons, the four begadim. Additionally, they required meshicha. there was some meshicha, some anointing with the Shemen HaMishcha that was done, says the Gemara. Is that something that will be ma'akiv l'dairis? What is, or was that something that was ma'akiv by the Meluim? L'mandam akol akasim ma'akiv em koin demandam, that says that everything it says was ma'akiv ma'akiv. It's certainly ma'akiv. L'mandam adovashim ma'akiv l'dairis em ma'akiv em. But according to the mandam that says that something that's not ma'akiv l'dairis is not ma'akiv, then lay ma'akiv. Then it's certainly not going to be ma'akiv. This is not something that's ma'akiv l'dairis. So the Gemara says, l'dairis minolan delay ma'akiv. How do you know that this is not ma'akiv l'dairis? Meaning maybe there's a halacha that says that l'dairis, what would it mean here? Anytime you appoint a new kayin or a new kayin gadol, there's some sort of 7-day process where he has to wear the begadim for 7 days and you have to have Shemen HaMishcha for 7 days. Maybe these things are ma'akiv. So the Gemara says, no, we know that from a braisa. The Tanya we learned in a braisa. It says, V'chiper ha-koyin ashe yimshach oisoy v'ashe yimali es yodoy l'chayin tachas ovi v'lov ashe es bigdei habad bigdei ha-koydish. This is a pasuk in Parashas Akrimos. It's talking about a new koyin. This is a kohen, specifically a kohen gadol, that's now serving as the kohen gadol in place of his father. Says the Gemara, why do we need this pasuk? Because there's another pasuk that says shivas yomim yul boshon hakohen tachtov mibonov. There's a pasuk in the Miluim that says that Aharon Uvonov had to have the Shemen HaMishcha, they had to be wearing the begadim for 7 days. And not just that, the pasuk seems to suggest that maybe this is Negei L'dairis. Because the pasuk says, Shivas Yomen Yul Boshon HaKoyin Tachtov. It sounds a little bit like maybe this is always supposed to be that way. So to make sure that we don't make the mistake and think that, so the Torah went ahead and said, the pasuk that we're discussing right now. So the Gemara speaks it out. Meaning, Eliel and the Srabah Shiva and Nimshach Shiva, from that pasuk of Shiva's Yom and Yul Basha, and I would have thought that in order to be a Kayin, you first have to go through 7 days of Meshicha and 7 days of Begadim. Shiva and Nimshach, the Srabah Shiva and Nimshach Yomechad. What if you wore Begadim for 7 days, but you had Shem and Amishcha for 1 day, or the Srabah Yomechad and Nimshach Shiva, or you wore the Begadim for 1 day and you had the Shem and Amishcha for 7 days? And how do you know that you'd still be a Kayin? Now the Rishonim speak out that even though the Gemara doesn't say it, but additionally, Minayin, how do you know, even if you were Nisraba Yoy Mechod and you were Nimshach Yoy Mechod, even better. How do you know if you were only Nisraba Yoy Mechod or you were only Nimshach Yoy Mechod, how do you know that that's enough for you to be a Kayin? Tamad Loy Mashi Yimshach Oysoy Vashne Yimale Es Yodoy Mikol Makoyim. So from the Pasuk of Ashe Yimshach Oysoy Vashne Yimale Es Yodoy, we learn from there a little bit of Meshicha or a little bit of Ribu Begadim, that's enough for you to be a Kayin. So what's the Ravina trying to say? You see from here that there's no halacha for future generations that in order to be a Kayin or to be a Kayin Gadol, for 7 days prior you would have to wear the begadim of the Kayin, the Kayin Gadol, or you would need the Shemen HaMishcha. So nito azah halacha. There is a halacha that asher yimshach oisav asher yimal es yodah, you need one or the other, but for 1 day and you're done. You don't need it for 7 days. Now by the Meluim, it did happen for 7 days. So was that ma'akev or was it not ma'akev? That's Ravina, that's the Nafkamina. If everything in the Meluim was Ma'akiv, so it's Ma'akiv. If not everything in the Meluim was Ma'akiv, only things that are Ma'akiv, L'dairis are Ma'akiv, then it won't be Ma'akiv. But the Gemara continues to drop on this point. Ashkechon riboy shiva l'katchila. We have a pasuk that says that l'katchila, there's an idea that before someone becomes Kayin or Kayin Gadol, he should wear the begadim for 7 days. It's a l'katchila. Where do you see that? So it's the pasuk that the Gemara just quoted. Shivas yomim yulboshan ha-Kayin tachtav. Even though we just said it's not ma'akev, we know that from the other pasuk, v'chibra ha'koyin ha'shiyim sh'choysev ha'shiyim ha'les yodri l'chayin tachazovim, but l'katchila we see it. Says the Gemara, meshicha shiva l'katchila minolim. How do you know l'katchila meshicha shiva? Meaning it sounds like for sure l'katchila, you should do 7 days of meshicha, 7 days of ribu begadim. We have a pasuk that says, b'di'evid, you don't need seven, b'di'evid, you don't even need both. One is going to be enough. But l'katchila, it sounded like from the braisa, you should. Would you see it? Because the braisa says, ein li'ela nisra b'shiva v'nimshach shiva. It sounds like it's a l'katchila. So the Gemara says, how do you even know l'katchila? There's an idea of meshicha shiva. So the Gemara says, two terutzim. Iba yisema mit itzrach kral l'ma'utya. And the fact that you need a pasuk to tell me that it's not ma'akiv to do 7 days, so it sounds like l'katchila you're supposed to do 7 days. Iba yisema the amakra, the pasuk says, u'bigdei ha'kodesh asher la'aharon, yi'u levon av achrov l'moshcha behem, u'lemali ba'mes yadam. This pasuk puts together l'moshcha behem, which in this context means Shemen HaMishcha, Ulamali Bames Yadim, which in this context means wearing the Begadim, Iskish Meshicha L'Ribo, Yomakish, the two, Ma Ribo Shiva, just like Ribo L'Katchilo, is Shiva Af Meshicha Shiva, so too Meshicha L'Katchilo is going to be Shiva. Either way, a little bit of a digression from a digression. But just to return to the core of the sugya, and that is, we have a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Initially, the Gemara didn't know who said what, but the Gemara said, Testayim, we now know who said what. Rabbi Yochanan shita is that everything that it says in the Parsha of the Miluim is ma'akiv. Rabbi Chanina's shita is not everything in the Parsha of the Miluim is ma'akiv, just like not everything in every carbon is ma'akiv. There's certain things that are ma'akiv, certain things are not ma'akiv. Okay, what's the way of knowing what's ma'akiv, what's not ma'akiv? If this parallel avoido in another carbon would be ma'akiv, so it's going to be ma'akiv. If this parallel avoid in another carbon, or the doiris is not ma'akiv, it won't be ma'akiv. Okay, l'may nafkemina, the Gemara said four nafkeminas. Smicha, tenufa, prisha shiva, and ribuy shiva or meshicha shiva. All four of these things went down by the meluim. There was smicha on the karbonos by the meluim. There was tenufa on certain parts of the karbonos by the meluim. Prisha shiva, Aharon uvanav had to live in the oil moed for 7 days during the meluim. And for 7 days they had to wear the begadim, and for 7 days they had shemen. But all four of these halachos, even though they have shaychis to other karbanos, every karban yachid has smicha, many karbanos have pnufa, prisha shiva you have on with the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, and every new kohen lekatchila is supposed to do ribui shiva and shemen hamishcha of shiva, but they're not ma'akiv ledoiris. I mean that they're not ma'akiv ledoiris. According to Rabbi Chanina, they won't be ma'akiv regarding the miluim as well. Zok the Gemara. My time at the man namar kol akosa b'ma'akiv. What's the makar to the man namar, also known as Rabbi Yochanan, that holds that every single word in the miluim, everything in the parash of the miluim is ma'akiv? I'm Rabbi Yitzchok bar Bisno. It's Rabbi Yitzchok bar Bisno. Said I'm makar. It's learned from the pasuk that says vasisa le'aharon. It says the word kacha, and kacha is a magic word, and it means ikuva. You find this in Kachem, that the word kacha means ikuva. So if it says kacha, oh, kacha means it's ma'akiv. So vasisa laharin ulevan of kacha means everything is ma'akiv. Now this pasuk is in the parasha of the Miluim. But which one of the parashas of the Miluim? We said the parasha of the Miluim is mentioned twice in the Torah. It's mentioned in Tetzaveh, and it's mentioned in Tzav. This pasuk is in parashas Tetzaveh. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Teinach kol milsa dechsiva b'hayin yodah. So I have a makar now that anything that it says in parashas Tetzaveh, that one of the two parashas of the Miluim is ma'akir. Because it says kacha, but milsa deloy ksiva b'hayin yodah. What about a halacha that it doesn't say b'hayin yodah? Meaning it doesn't say it in parashas Tetzaveh. But it says it in the other inyan. It says it in parashas Tzav. Minolan, how do you know that? So it's interesting. The Gemara is bifurcating these two parashas, even though you would think they complement each other. These are two parashas in the Torah that together tell a story. They tell us about the Miluim. But the Gemara is asking a question. Maybe Kacha is only going on the dinim that are explicit in parashas Tetzaveh. Maybe not, with regards to the halachas that are only mentioned in parashas Tetzaveh. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, I hear, but Yalav Pesach Pesach. I have Gzeira Shava Pesach Pesach between Tetzaveh and Tzav. So if Tetzaveh is ma'akiv, the Gzeira Shava teaches me that Tzav also has to be ma'akiv. Shashia said, says in the Torah, Ushmartem es Mishmeres Hashem. This is in Parshat Tzav. Ushmartem es Mishmeres Hashem. Zok Rashi, Mashma Tishmor Kechol HaKosav. That's a Lashon of Bidiyevet. You have to watch it carefully because it's Ma'akiv. Rav Ashi says that it says in the Pasuk, Ki Chein Tzu Vesi, and from the words Ki Chein Tzu Vesi, that's how we know that it's ma'akiv. The bottom line is, according to the Ma'anama that says that everything is ma'akiv, clearly you would need a makar. The teretzes we have makaris, we have kocha, we have Gzeir Shava Pesach Pesach, Ushmartem is Mesmeres Hashem, Ushmartem is Mashmei Kuva, and we have Kichein Tzuvesi. So we just mentioned the words Kichein Tzuvesi, so the Gemara is going to digress for a second. Tanu Rabbana, we learned to the Braisa. Now the context of this Braisa is not the Shivas Yimei Amiluim, but rather it's the eighth day. It's Vayhi Bayoy Mashmini. And it's clear in the Torah that a lot happened by Hiba Yom Hashmini. It was the first day of the Mishkan, and then Misas Nadav and Avihu. And after Nadav and Avihu died, there was a big Bahala amongst Aharon and Banav HaNisarim, Elazar and Nisamar. And the reason is they just brought a lot of Karbanas, but they also just became Oinenin. They just lost a relative. Aharon lost his son, and Elazar and Nisamar lost their brothers. And because they were Oinenin, so there was a question. What do they do now with all these karbanas? There's a lot of meat. They were supposed to eat it initially. Like, what are they supposed to do? So Moshe comes to Aharon, Elazar, and Nisamar. He tells them, Hashem commanded me to tell you that even though ordinarily an oinin doesn't eat kachim, you should eat kachim. This is what I was commanded. I was told you should eat kachan. Lamaisa, Aharon ate most of the kachan, but he didn't eat all the kachan. There was one sire, one goat, which was a carbon chatas that had been brought that day, that Aharon HaKoyim burnt. And that was the Sir Rish Chodesh. It was Rish Chodesh Nisan. So one of the karbanas was a carbon musaf that was brought for Rish Chodesh. Sir Izim Echad HaChatas. And Aharon HaKoyim burnt it. And Aharon HaKoyim's rationalization was that even though he was told that he's supposed to eat from the karbanas, but he was under the impression that that was only the karbanos that were special karbanos for that day. The karbanos that were Hayurah Isha. The carbon that Nachshon ben Aminadab brought because he was the Nasi that day. The carbon that was brought because it was Vayhi Bayayim Hashmini. But the carbonist that would be brought, the Dairis, there was no Ayurah Asha that said the Oinin's allowed to eat it. Moshe Rabbeinu came. He sees that the goat was burnt. He got very angry. Vayik Tzoyf Moshe, Madua, Loyachaltem, etc. And the rest is history. So in that context, three times Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Aharon and he says, you're supposed to eat it, even though you're an Oinein, because I was commanded so by Hashem. Tanu Rabbanan. The first time, Moshe said, Ki chen tzu vesi. The second time, he said, Kasher tzi vesi. The third time, he said, Kasher tzi v'Hashem. Why these three mentions? Ki chen tzu vesi b'ani nes yechlu. This was the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu told Aharon, you're Oinein, but it doesn't matter. You're going to eat the kachem anyways. Aharon looked at Moshe. Come again? He says, no, ki chen tzu vesi. I have a special tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what you're supposed to do. Kasher tzivesi. When Moshe said kasher tzivesi, v'shas ma'isa amala. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu came and he saw that they burnt the sire. And Moshe Rabbeinu got really angry. He said, I told you were supposed to burn it. Kasher tzivesi. Right? You can understand why he would say kasher tzivesi. Because he's angry at them and he's trying to tell them that what you did was wrong. So Moshe says, how do I know I'm right? Kasher tzivesi. Because that's what I was commanded to do. So that's the second. First time he told it to them because of the shock value. They had to understand. No. Ki chen tzivesi. I was commanded. The second time Moshe Rabbeinu was angry, so he's making his point. He's saying, I was commanded. What about the third time? This is referring to after that was all settled, the Seir Rish Chodesh, there were still other karbanos, and again, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make sure Aharon would eat those karbanos. So Moshe Rabbeinu said that even though we had a little bit of a discussion and a sikhsuch as it relates to the Seir of Rish Chodesh, but as it relates to the other karbanos, I'm telling you, I'm telling you what the Eibishter told me. Either way, we mentioned Kichen Tzuvesi. Why did we mention Kichen Tzuvesi? Because this is one of the Mekairis to Rabbi Yochanan that holds everything in the parish of the Milom is Ma'akir. So we digress, albeit for a brief moment, with another reference of the word Kichen Tzuvesi, Kasher Tzuvesi, Kasher Tzuvah Hashem. It's sort of Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'isa Inyan, because the first Kichen Tzuvesi is the Shivas Yimei HaMilu'im, and the second Kichen Tzuvesi is the Vayhi Ba'yoyim HaShmini. But the Gemara returns now to the Shivas Yimei HaMilu'im. Amar Rabbi Yosi B'Rab Chanin. Reis B'Rab Chanin is at Mechnasayim Ein Ksuvim HaParasha. It doesn't say anywhere in the Parasha of the Milu'im that the Kehanim had to wear Mechnasayim. So the big Dekuna mentioned in the Parasha of the Milu'im. In fact, it was Moshe Rabbeinu's job, Vayal Beishoisim. He had to physically put the clothing on the Aharon Uvanim. But it meant, and the Pasuk goes through all the different begadim that he put on them, but it omits, mysteriously, pants. It doesn't say Mechnasayim. So were Mechnasayim included? So the Gemara says, yeah, actually, because when it says in the Pasuk, Vizeh Hadov Asher Tasulem, L'kadei Shoisim L'chayim, and this is in the beginning of the Parsha Miluim. It's the first Pasuk. Vizeh Hadov Asher Tasulem L'kadei Shoisim L'chayim. From there we learn, L'hovi HaMechnasayim V'asir HaSeifa. We learn from there, pants, which are not mentioned in the Parsha Miluim. We also mentioned that the Kehanim had to bring an Asir HaSeifa. They had to bring the Michas Chinuch of the end of Masechet Shkalim thing. This was a carbon that every new Kohen had to bring, even though it's not mentioned anywhere in the Miluim, but this was included in the Miluim. Now, how do you see Mechnasayim? So Rashi says, V'zeh HaDover. You usually don't start a chapter with and, V'zeh. Vaz Moisef al Inyan Rishon. So obviously it's connecting this to something that was previously mentioned. If you look in the Torah, in Parashas Tetzaveh, right before the Parish of the Miluim, what does it say in the Torah? It says the Parish of the Big Dekuna. And in the Parish of the Big Dekuna, it mentions pants, because it's one of the Big Dekuna. So Vizeh HaDavar, the Vav is Moisef al Inyan Rishon. That's the Makar that there were pants even during the Shivas Yimei HaMilu. But the Braisa said two things. You see from there, Lahavi HaMichnasayim and Lahavi HaSirus HaEifa. Fake the Gemara. Bishlam Michnasayim.
Nichnasayim Sivi Binyan of the Begadim. I understand where we're Marba Nichnasayim, because that's mentioned in the previous parasha. The Vav connects the two parashas. That's how I know Nichnasayim. El Asiris Eifa Minol. How do you know Asiris Eifa? There's no mention, there's no Rembes, Ben Benoishal Rembes of Asiris Eifa. So how do you get the Asiris Eifa? So the Gemara says, you're right. Asya Zezeh. It's a different Makar. It's learned from Gzeira Shava. It's not the Vav of Vizeh, but it's the actual word Zeh. Gzeira Shava Zeh Zeh. It says Zeh Karben Aharon Uvanav Asher Yakrivu LaHashem B'Yomi Mashach Oisai Asiris Eifa. That's the Makar to the Halacha of the Minchas Chinuch. It says here Zeh. By the Milum there was a Minchas Chinuch. Another Halacha related to the Milum. Amar Rabbi Yoichon Amitshum Rabbi Shem Bayichon. Minayin Shaf Mikra Parisho Ma'akev. How do you know that it was Ma'akev that Moshe Rabbeinu read during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim the Parsha of the Miluim? He had to actually read the Parsha. Parsha's Tetzafah he had to read. How do you know that? Talmud Loim Avayoyim Rav Moshe El Ha'edo Zeh HaDover HaShatziva HaShem. Dover is Miloshin Dibur. Afilu Dibur Ma'akev. Even the Dibur was Ma'akev. This is Rabbi Yochanan talking, who said that everything in the Parsha of the Miluim was Ma'akev. He said even Kriyas HaTorah of the Miluim was Ma'akev. So there was a special Chiddush of Kriyas HaTorah by the Miluim, and not only was there a Chiddush of Kriyas HaTorah, was Ma'akev. How do you know there was Kriyas HaTorah? Zeh HaDover. Dover is Dibur. And Rabbi Yechon knows everything is ma'akiv. This was ma'akiv as well. So we just mentioned that Moshe Rabbeinu had a dress, Aharon Uvanav, during the 7 days. So how did it happen? So what's the question? What do you mean, how did it happen? So the question is, Rashi, Seder Begadim lo'avu lo'banim ze'achazeh. Aharon Uvanav, did Aharon get dressed first, then Banav, first Banav, then Aharon? Maybe it varied by different Begadim. That's the question. So the Gemara says, Ketzad Elbisha, Maida Havahava. I don't know. Whatever happened, happened. Interesting. All of a sudden now, the Gemara says, Maida Havahava. We have a whole sugi about the Miluim. Plitzling, Maida Havahava. Elos. The Gemara says, no. The question is, Ketzad Elbisha, Lassad Lavoi. What's it going to be like in the end of days? Lassad Lavoi. Tchias Amesim. This is going to repeat itself. How's it going to happen then? By the way, the Ramban says, checkmate. You see, it's going to repeat itself. Why is it going to repeat itself? I thought the Parsha of the Miluim is never going to repeat itself. No, because of course it repeats itself. So Ketzad Malbishan Lassad Lavoi. How's it going to happen then? Lassad Lavoi Nami, the Gemara says. We have to worry now about what's going to be Lassad Lavoi. But we don't have to worry about what the Halacha is going to be Lassad Lavoi. You know why? Because we'll have Aharon and Moshe. They'll know. We don't need to figure it out for them. They're going to know what the Halacha is. So the Gemara says, you're right. I hear Ela Ketzad Hilbishan Lamizbakroi. The reason we're trying to figure this out is because there's an issue here with the psukim. Simply going through these psukim are a little ambiguous, and that's why Chazal just wanted to know how to read psukim. It's Torah, it's not the history. It's not hashtag rest of the story. And this is not Hilchas Olam Mashiach, us figuring out from Moshe and Aharon what they're going to have to do by Tchias HaMeisim. But it's Lemizbar Kroy. You have to know psukim, and that's Torah. V'shinantam Levanecha. We have to know how to learn. And as a result, we have an obligation to understand these psukim. So what's the question? So it's going to be clear from the Gemara. Pligi ba b'nei Reb Chia v'Reb Yoichana. So there was machlokes between the b'nei Reb Chia and Reb Yoichana. One said Aharon Achach Banav. First, Aharon got dressed, and then Banav. V'chadam, and the other one said Aharon Uvanav B'vas Achas. It all happened at the same time. Now, what does it mean at the same time? So the Gemara is going to explain it at the end of the daf. But was it Aharon and then Banav? Or was it Aharon and Banav Vasachas? That's the shot. Amr Abai, B'Ksoinus, U'mitznafes, Kulam, B'Loi, P'ligi, D'Aharon, Machach, Banav. As it relates to the Ksoinus, Matznafes, and the Mechnesayim, meaning as it relates to all the begodden, other than the Avnet, there's no Machloikis. First the Aharon got dressed, then Banav. The question was the Gartel. Now, how do you know, as it relates to all the other begadim, first the Aharon Uvanav? Because if you go through the Psukim, it's clear that way. The Bein Betzava, both the Psukim that talk about the commandments of what was supposed to happen by the Miluim. Parshas Tzava. Ubein Ba'asiya. And the Psukim, the Parsha in the Torah of the Miluim that talks about what actually happened. Parshas Tzav. Aharon cut. It always says Aharon first. Ayin Sham. So if it always says Aharon first, for sure Aharon would cover. Keep Ligi Ba'avni. With this confusion, and where Chazal were a little bit unsure, was specifically the Gartel. Why were they unsure about the Avnei? Because the Pasuk says, Vayachgor Oysoi Ba'avnei. It's Vahador Ksiv, and then it says, Vayachgor Oysom Ba'avnei. So, Vayachgor Oysoi Ba'avnei sounds like first Aharon. And then it says, Vayachgor Oysom Ba'avnei, then the children. Oh, so sounds like by the Avnei, first Aharon, then Banav. Mandom Aharon Uvanav Asachas. The other Mandom said the Chesiv. There's another pasuk that says V'chogarta Oysom Avnet Aharon Uvanav. That sounds like it had to be together. That's why there was a little bit of confusion. By the Avnet is where we're a little bit unsure. All the Begadim it always says Aharon Uvanav first. By the Avnet is a stira. One parsha. This is the parsha Sav, by the way. Vayachgar Oysom Avnet. Then Vayachgar Oysom Avnet. First Aharon, then Banav. In parsha Tetzave, it's V'chogarto oisom avnei da harunovanov. It sounds like everyone together. So, b'nei Reb Chiya and Reb Yochanan argued, one said this way, one said that way. One picked one parasha, the other one picked the other parasha. Now, each one has to figure out how to learn the other parasha. So, the Gemara, the man dama harunovanov v'asachas. According to the man that says, harunovanov did it v'asachas, k'siv v'yachgar oisom ba'avnei. Doesn't it say in the Torah, v'yachgar oisom ba'avnei, the hodik k'siv v'yachgar oisom ba'avnei? It sounds like first Aaron, then Banov. A malach, ahu, that's just coming to teach me halacha. Really, Aharon and Banav were b'vasachas. So why does it separate? Why does it say first Aharon and Banav? To teach me that they were different avnates. The avnate of the Kohen Gadol wasn't the same as the avnate of the Kohen Hedyot. The avnate of the Kohen Gadol was made of shatnez. The avnate of the Kohen Hedyot was made of linen, a sugya that we're going to get to in coming dafin. According to Mandama that says first it was Aharon and Banav, it says, together, Aharon Uvanov, it sounds like they're all supposed to be at the same time. It says Aharon Uvanov. So the Gemara says, Amalach. No, who come ash? Well, just the opposite. It's coming to teach me. Really, the order is Aharon Uvanov. Why is there a pasuk that sounds like they were the same? Not that they got dressed at the same time, but that it was the same Avnei. There's a Bavas Achaz piece, but not the Seder of how they got dressed, but rather that it was the same Garto. Vayachir Oisei Ba'avneit. So when it says Vayachgar Oysa Ba'avnet, and then it says Vayachgar Oysam Lomelish, Maminah, Aaron Vachakach Banov. That's that mandama that says, first it was Aharon, Vachakach Banov. So we have a machloikis in terms of the Seder of how they got dressed. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who dressed them. How exactly did it play out? What was the Seder Advarim? All the Begadim Aharon, and then Banov. There's no question. But when it came to the Gartel, that was the question. One mandama said it was Aharon Vachakach Banov. It was the same thing, Aharon and then Banov. The other mandama said, no, the Gartel happened together. Meaning, Aharon got dressed up until the Gartel, Banav got dressed up until the Gartel, and then the two Gartlech, the two Avnetas, were put on at the same time. How come Moshe Rabbeinu put all these Gartels on at once? Like, you have to say for sure one happened first. And who's happened first? Presumably Aharon's happened first. But at the same time, the question is, was there a Hefsik in between? Was there like a Hesach Hadas? Or was there no Hefsik in between? The man that says, Aharon Vachakach Banav holds there was a Hefsik. The man that says that it happened, Bevas Achas, he holds that there was no Hefsik exhale. So we'll see how much time we have. But a few Ha'aris as it relates to today's daf. So we've been talking about the parasha of the Milun, the parasha that's mentioned in two places in the Torah, in Parshas Tetzave and in Parshas Tzav. And we saw in the Gemara that there are certain halachas that are mentioned in one parasha that are not mentioned in the other parasha. The most notable is the topic of the beginning of Masechtas Yuma. And that is the pasuk says in the end of Parshas Tzav, it says in the Torah that Aharon of Anav had to be in the Yoyal Moed for 7 days. That's mentioned in Parshas Tzav. It's not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. Why is this the topic of the beginning of Masechtas Yuma? Because Rabbi Yochanan and Daf Beis and Daf Gimel and Daf Dalet and Daf Hey is of the opinion that that pasuk is the source, it's the makar to the first halacha in the Masechta that Shivas Yom and Koidim Yom Kippurim Ma'frishin Koyin Gadol Mi Beisoy Lelishkas Parhejin. But this is the halacha. The halacha that happened according to the Ramban that would repeat itself in future generations from time to time. Upesach oyom moye teishvu yoimam volayla shivas yamim. For 7 days, Aharon Uvanov had no choice, but they had to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Teishvu yoimam volayla shivas yamim. What does the word teishvu mean? The Gemara Masechtas Sukkah, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, is discussing the mitzvah of Sukkah. It says in the Torah, Basukah is teishvu shivas yamim. And the Gemara learns a halach in Hilchas Sukkah, Ayin Sham, from the halachis of Miluim. The Gemara says, Nemar kan teishvu, it says by Sukkah teishvu, v'nemar b'miluim teishvu, and it says by Miluim teishvu, mala halon afkan. The Gemara learns a halach. In other words, the word teishvu means, ke'in taduru. It means that for 7 days, Aharon Uvanov, they had to live. They had to be in the Ayol Mayid. Just like we know what Basukes Teishvu Shivas Yomim means, that's what Upesach Oyomoye Teishvu Yomim Velayla Shivas Yomim means. Who equates the two words Teishvu? Gemara. It's a Gemara, a Talmud Bavli, Mesech Nesukah, Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis. Freitas Vesakasha, in Sukkah Mem Gimel Amid Beis, he says, I don't understand.
We know that teshvu means ke'en tadura in Hilchas Sukkah. So for example, you have to eat in the sukkah, you have to sleep in the sukkah, you're supposed to do everything in the sukkah. If teshvu regarding the miluim means the same thing, then l'chayra, Aharon Avanav had to eat in the Ayom Moed, they had to sleep in the Ayom Moed, they had to do everything in the Ayom Moed. For Eit Tosfos, we know there's a rule. Ein yeshiva ba'azara, elo l'malchei beis David bovad. You weren't allowed to sit in the Azara. The only ones that were allowed to sit in the Azara were the Malchi Beis David. So, Frey Tosfos, I don't understand. And what does Teshvu mean? Basuka is Teshvu, Shivas Yomim. Teshvu came to do it. How could Aharon Avanav have slept in the Ayom Moed? They couldn't even sit in the Ayom Moed. There's a halach of Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, Elo L'malchus Beis David Bavat. Now, you can taina that maybe this was before Bahiba Yom Hashmini. Maybe it was a little bit different. But the point is, it's a kasha that Tosfos asks in Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So Tosfos says, you have to say that even though the Gemara in Sukkah equates the word Teshvu, or Basukah's Teshvu, Shivas Yomim, with the word Teshvu, Pesach Oyomoye Teshvu Yomim Velayla Shivas Yomim, but the two words Teshvu don't mean the same thing. Rather, they mean something similar, but not identical. Teshvu in Sukkah means Teshvu Ke'in Taduru. You talk, you learn, you eat, and you sleep, and you do everything in the sukkah. As it relates to Pesach Oyom Moed Teshvu Yoyim Avalayla Shivas Yomim, Avada Givist, Aharon Avanav could not have slept in the Oyom Moed. Because in Yeshiva Bazara, Elo Malchei Beis David Bavad. And if you can't sit, you certainly can't sleep. That's what Tosfos says. And at first glance, it seems like a very big chiddush. Because Pashin, the way we've understood through the first few dafin in the Masechta, is now when it says by the Miluim that Aharon Avanav had to be in the Ayol Moed, it meant they had to be in the Ayol Moed. They couldn't leave. U'pesach Ayol Moed teishvu yoyim avalayla, shivas yomim. What does yoyim avalayla mean? Yoyim avalayla. You have to be there the whole day and the whole night. That's what it would have sounded like. And teishvu means kein taduru. But Tosfos and Sukkah is mechadesh that it can't be. Because what happened to the rule of ein yeshiva ba'azara elo l'malche based? The truth is, if you take a look at the Rishonim on the Chumash, in Mafter of Parashat Tzav, literally the Mefarshei HaChumash, they all say what Tosfos says, albeit in a different nusach, the Ramban. The Ramban says, Inyan HaKosav Hazeh, what does it mean that Aharon Avanav had to be in the Oyel Moed? Shalei Yetzu Mipesach Oyel Moed Yoyman V'layla, here's the punchline, B'shas So'avoido. At the time of the Avodah, the halacha was that they weren't allowed to leave. It doesn't say that they were never allowed to leave, but what it means is, b'shas Avodah, they weren't allowed to leave. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says it with a slightly different nosach. Masha is hiron. What the Torah means when it said, Pesach oyo moye teshvu yoyman v'layla kavanas ha-posik b'sho haruyos leishev sham. At the time that you're supposed to be there, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, sharei basav adamu. Aharon Avanav were boss of Adam. And if that's the case, Muchrachas Lasois Anyonim Agufnian. There was certain Anyonim Gufnian. What happened when they had to go to the bathroom? Then what? They were in Oyel Moed. That's what the Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying in a very refined way. He's saying they had to do Tvar Inyonim Gufnian. So you're going to do that in the Oyel Moed? Of course they were allowed to leave. So what does it mean? It means Bishah Haruya Leishev Shom. Any time that it was appropriate to be there or be anywhere. So it's be there. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that we're never allowed to leave. So the Ramban says it in his Lashon, and Rabbeinu Bechaya says it in his Lashon. Evan Ezra says the same thing. Evan Ezra says, V'anochem be'enai, she'yotzu b'shas ha-tzoyrich b'yoymu v'layla. That they were allowed to leave b'shas ha-tzoyrich b'yoymu v'layla. So what Tosfos says in Sukkah Mem Gimel Amid Beis, that there's no way Aharon Avanav could have slept in the Yom Moed, because ein yeshiva b'azar elo l'malchi beis David b'vad, kal v'chayma, they weren't able to sleep there. At first glance, wow, it's a big chiddush tucked away in Sukkah Mem Gimel Amid Beis. But after further review, if you open up a Kreis G'dayla S'chumash, all the Rishonim say it. Ramban says it, Rabbeinu Bechaya says it, Evan Ezra says it, the Cheskuni says it, Ayin Shom. All the Rishonim say it in their own Knech, in their own Lashon, but that's Pasha, that all the Rishonim seem to be of the opinion that the halacha was U'pesach O'yomoye Teshvu Yom V'layla did not mean that Aharon Avanav were never allowed to be in the Oyel Moed. But there's another Tosfos. And this Tosfos is in Masechta's Yuma that passed on the days. Tosfos asks a very, very similar question. And it's actually troubling. But Tosfos asks a very, very similar question. Tosfos says, the first Mishnah, Shivas Yomim Koidim Yom HaKippurim Afrishim Koyin Godom Yibesoy Lishkas Parhedrin. Frey Tosfos, where was Lishkas Parhedrin? It was in the Azar. The Koyin Godom spent 7 days in Lishkas Parhedrin. It sounds like he never left. It sounds like he was there the whole time. How could he have been there the whole time? He would have had to have sit at some point. You'd have to fall asleep. You can't go 7 days without sleeping. So if that's the case, what happened to Ein Yeshiva Bazara Elo L'malchi Beis Dovah Bovan? And Tosfos says the Teretz. Tosfos says you have to say that the Lishkas Parhedrin, even though it opened up into the Azara, but it was Benuya B'chol. It was actually physically not in the Azara. And therefore, it wasn't included in the halacha of Ein Yeshiva Bazara Elo L'malchi Beis Dovah Bovan. What do you mean? I thought it was one of the Lishkos in the Azara. Yeah, it opened up into the Azara. But despite the fact that it opened up into the Azara, it wasn't really part of the Azara. And because it wasn't really part of the Azara, it didn't have Kedushas Azara, and therefore there wasn't a problem. Rabbi Kiveger on this Tosfos says, Ayin Tosfos Sukkadaf Mem Gimel Amid Beis Tosfos Dibur Amaskel Teshvo. Rabbi Kiveger on the Tosfos in Yuma Ches Amid Beis sends us to the Tosfos in Sukkadaf Mem Gimel Amid Beis. What does Rabbi Kiveger mean? L'chura, what he means to say is, I don't understand Tosfos Kasha. Because Tosfos seems to be making an assumption that the Kohen Gadol never was able to leave the Lishkas Parhedrin. And the Kohen HaSofer Sapara was never able to leave the Lishkas Beis Ever. Why? Why was he never allowed to leave? Because what do you mean? He had to be quarantined for 7 days. Freak Rabbi Kiveger, L'chaira, what do you mean? What's the whole Mikar to the Halacha of 7 days? Rabbi Yochanan said, it's learned out from the Shivas Himei Amiluim, and Tosfos himself said in Sukkah Mem Gimel Amid Beis. And it's not just Tosfos, it's the Ramban, it's Rabbeinu Bachya, it's Ibn Ezra, it's the Chizkuni, all the Rishonim said that it didn't mean they were never allowed to leave. Of course they were allowed to leave. In Yonim Gufniim, in Yeshiva Bazar. So Tosfos addressed it already in Sukkah Mem Gimel Amid Beis. So why does Tosfos have to be Mechadish? Now, Lishkas Parhedrin wasn't really in the Azara, it just opened up into the Azara. It's a doichik. Frank Rab Kiveger, Toysis Lishi Tosoy and Sukkim and Gimel Amid Beis. That's the teretz to the Kasha and Yuma Ches Amid Beis. Meaning, Dayu Lovim and Adin Liyaz Kenadun, the halach of 7 days of Prisha for the Kohen Gadol, can't be more chamer than the Shivas Yimei Amiluim, because the Makar is the Shivas Yimei Amiluim. And if by the Shivas Yimei Amiluim it's 7 days, but not unequivocally 7 days, meaning it's not 7 days me'es le'es where they can't leave at all. So l'chayr, the same thing should be over here as relates to the 7 days before Yom Kippur. But that's Tosfos Teretz in Yuma Ches Amid Beis. Tosfos Teretz is that Lishkas Parhedrin, even though it's technically one of the Lishkos in the Azara, but it wasn't physically in the Azara, but rather it was b'chayl, it just opened up into the Azara. The problem is the Rambam. The Rambam in Perikei Hilchas Beis Abchira Alocha Yud Zayin seems to say that the Lishkas Parhedrin was in the Azara. And the Rambam in Perikei Beis Hilchas Parah seems to say that the Lishka with the Kohen HaSofer HaSapara was for 7 days was also in the Azara. And if that's the case, Hodri Kushyas Toysus Leduchtei, what happened to Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara Elo L'malchi Beis Tavil Bova? So Rab Leib Malin in Chedushei Rab Arya Leib, and this is in Chelik Aleph, it's in Simen Yutes, he says a teretz to explain the Rambam Shita, and really to answer Tosfos Kasha. How would the Kohen Gadol have been allowed to spend 7 days Ritzufos in Lishkas Parhedrin? What happened to Ein Yeshiva Bazara Elo L'malchi Beis Dovah B'Vat? Abba mit a shtickle introduction. And that is, the rule is, no one was allowed to sin in the Azara, with the exception of the Malchi Beis Dovah. The question is, why? What's the time of the crow? What's Pshat in this Isser? Why is it that Ein Yeshiva Bazara? So Rav Leib says, there's two Rashis in Shas. Rashi Masechtas Yuma, Daf Chofei Amar Aleph says, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara Shenemar. Because the Pasuk says, Lamoid L'shoreis Ha'oimdim Shom L'fnei Hashem. It says, Ha'oimdim Shom L'fnei Hashem. What does it mean? You have to stand L'fnei Hashem. The Beis HaMikdosh, the Azara is L'fnei Hashem. And it says, Ha'oimdim Shom L'fnei Hashem. And that's how you know, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, Elo L'malchi Beis Dovah B'Vah. But there's another Rashi. This is the Masechtas Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. It's in Perek Chelik. There too, the Gemara says Ein Yeshiva. Zok Rashi Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai VeLoy Mikra. It's a Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. It's not a pasuk. Freik Rav Leib Malin. It's really the Mishnah Lemelech's Kasha. It's a Stira and Rashi. You have two Rashis in Shas, and Rashi contradicted himself head on. Rashi in Yuma brings a pasuk. The pasuk says Lami L'Shoris Ha'Oimdim Shom L'Fnei Hashem, and Rashi in Sanhedrin says Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. The loy mikra, literally. Rashi is like mafki, what he said in Yuma Chafei Amid Aleph. So what's going on? We have a steer in Rashi. Rashi's Yuma Chafei Amid Aleph brings a pasik, ha'oimdim l'sham b'fnei Hashem, and Rashi's Sanhedrin Kuf Aleph Amid Beis says specifically it wasn't a pasik. All it is halacha l'moshe misina. So Rabbi Leib Malin says a dover nifla. He says a beautiful lumbus. He says that what's pshat in this halacha of in yeshiva bazara elo l'malchi beis davar b'vat? So pasha you learn, there's an iser yeshiva. Now let us sit. It's aser to sit in the Azara. You stand by Shmoneh Esrei, for example. You don't sit. You stand in the Azara. You don't sit. The iser is an iser yeshiva. But said Rabbi Leib, Yesh Loimar, the iser is not an iser yeshiva.
You know what the issur is? A person is not just allowed to be in the Azara. You can't be in the Azara without a purpose. You can't be in the Azara stam in the Veltarei. What are you doing in the Azara? Nothing. That doesn't work. You have to be doing something. You have to be doing an avoida. There has to be some kiyum din if you're going to be in the Azara. I stam punkt want to be in the Azara. You have no right to do that. The issur is not an issur yeshiva. It's sitting versus standing. That's not the Nakuda, said Rav Leib. You know what the Nakuda is? The Nakuda is that a person is not allowed to stop being the Azara unless he has a mission statement, unless he's there for a reason, unless while he's in the Azara, he's actually accomplishing something. He's checking off a box. He's doing some tayeles. There's some tachlis that's coming from the fact that he's in the Azara. So, Rav Leib, the Iker concept of Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara El Malchus Beis Dabel Vavad. This Yisoy, this Lomdus, that you can't just be in the Azara unless you have a purpose, unless you have a reason to be in the Azara. Zok Rashi in Sanhedrin Kuf Aleph on the base. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. There's no question that the general idea that I can't be in the Azara unless I have a purpose. I can't stand in the Azara unless I have a purpose. Meaning I can't do something in the Azara. I can't be in the Azara without a tachlis. That's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. What does Rashi and Yuma Chafa Yomen Aleph mean? Zok Rashi, if that's the case, so what's the difference between sitting and standing? Zok Rashi, oh, there's a difference. You know what the difference is? Lamoid l'shores ha'oimdim sham l'fnei Hashem. You know what you see in that pasuk? That when a person's standing l'fnei Hashem, etutepis. There's something called ha'oimdim sham l'fnei Hashem. That's the punchline. Ha'oimdim sham l'fnei Hashem. That when you're oimed l'fnei Hashem, you're oimed l'fnei Hashem. Memelo, if a person's standing in the Azara, it's not a problem. You know why? Because ha'oimdim sham l'fnei Hashem. There's a kiyum. The kiyum is the fact that he's standing right now l'fnei Hashem. Tosus guf ha'chalois. What are you doing? Nothing. Ich shteifah de'ebishta. That's something. Ob it's zitzifah de'ebishta, that's not a kiyum. And to the leishev l'fnei Hashem, there's no kiyum. So the two rashis are not a stira. The two rashis together are telling us the story of what it means, Ein Yeshiva Bazar. Rashi in Sanhedrin told us the general concept. The concept is you have to have a purpose in the Azara. That's halacha l'moshe misinai, that you have to have a purpose. What does that have to do with sitting versus standing? I mean, there could be many applications of this. But what does it have to do with sitting versus standing? So Rashi, I have a pasuk for that. Ha'oimdim sham l'fnei Hashem. Not that ha'oimdim sham l'fnei Hashem is a drasha, a din d'oraisa, it's a mikra that teaches me Ein Yeshiva Bazara. Ha'oimdim sham l'fnei Hashem is just a makar that there's something called standing l'fnei Hashem. And that's a kiyum din. And therefore, if a person is standing in the Azara, even though he's not doing anything else, that in and of itself is something. And for that reason, there's an idea that you're allowed to stand in the Azara. But to sit in the Azara, you don't find that yeshiva in the Azara is anything. I mean that you don't find yeshiva in the Azara is anything. So therefore, as it relates to yeshiva, you're not going to have this halacha. What about Malchi Beis David? Malchi Beis David, even sitting l'fnei Hashem, said Rab Leib, Vaistois is considered something. That's also a kiyum. For a yid, he has to be oimei l'fnei Hashem. But for a king from David HaMelech's family, even sitting l'fnei Hashem is a kiyum. And if even sitting l'fnei Hashem is a kiyum, that's going to be something. So he says, l'fi zeh, it's poshet, it's miyush of Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos asked the Kasha, shivas yomim koidim yom ha'kipurim, afishin koin gadol mi beisei l'lishkas barajin. I understand, how are you able to let this koin gadol be there for 7 days? He's in the Azara. And if he's in the Azara, he's inevitably going to fall asleep. So Rab Leib, who cares if he falls asleep? It's a problem. What? There's a din that you're not allowed to sit in the Azara. There's an issur yeshiva. The issur is stamped to be in the Azara for no reason. He's not in the Azara for no reason. This is Prisha Zayin Yomim. He's here for a reason. He's been mekayim a din in the Torah. Kashet Siva. This is a kiyum mitzvah. So of course he's in the Azara. I thought Ein Yeshiva. Ein Yeshiva just means for no purpose. Ordinarily, yeshiva would mean no purpose. Because what are you doing when you're sitting? You're not doing avoida, you can't do avoida when you sit. So what are you doing? As why standing different? Oh, whenever you stand l'fnei Hashem, you're actually doing something. But over here, where even sitting or even sleeping is considered to be l'fnei Hashem, over here it's going to be something. He adds another beautiful knech based on Reid we spoke about a long time ago, and that is there's a whole shaila in the Rishonim Tosfos and Sukkah in Yuma Chafeh Amid Aleph and Tosfos in the beginning of the second parak of Masechet Zvachim. In a few places in Kachim, Tosfos discusses the halacha is that when the Kohanim used to eat Kachim, they had to eat it lamashcha. Kederek sham alachem oichlam. They had to eat it the way kings eat. Now, kings eat when they're sitting. They don't eat when they're standing. Come over, Baseba. Right? They definitely eat when they're sitting. There's an idea of lamashcha. So Tosfos asks a kasha. Kachi kadoshim had to be eaten in the Azara. Ein yeshiva bazara, elo lamalchi beistava bovad. So Tosfos says, how do you eat kachim kachim? Kohanim eat kachim kachim. Kohanim have to eat lamashcha. and Kachigadashan has to be eaten in the Azara, and you can't sit in the Azara. So how do you eat Kachigadashan? So what are you supposed to do? So Tais has a whole suffix. Tais, not sure. One Teretz Tais says they would stand. Ay, Lamashko, what are you supposed to do? You have no choice. Another Teretz Tais says, no, they would sit. What's Pshat, they would sit? Because Lamashko is Doicha in Yeshiva Bazar, El Lamachi Besdavah Bulvah. So Pasha Tais says a Shakla Vatayu. What's Doicha what? Right? What's the Asay Doicha Lois Asay over here? Is Lamashko Doicha in Yeshiva Bazara? Or is in Yeshiva Bazara Doicha Lamashko? Said Rab Leib, that Lefiza, you don't have to come on to all this. Lefiza, it's Pasha. Avada Kain's allowed to sit in the Azara and eat Kachin. Why is he allowed to eat? Because he's doing something. To the extent you're doing something, it's not a problem. There's no Isser Yeshiva. There's an Isser of Batala. There's an Isser to be in the Azara without any purpose, without any motive, without doing something. If you're standing, you're Ha'imdim Lefnei Hashem. That's the Pasuk Rashi quoted in Yuma Chafei Amaral. So you're by definition doing something. It's like, this is not a problem. But yeshiva, that you can't do. That's the Aloch Ven Yeshiva Bazar. But to the extent you are doing something, to the extent you're being Mekayim the Mitzvah Prisha Zayin Yomen, Toysvus Kasha Yumoch Chesam Ebeis, to the extent that you're being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Lamashcha, Kederach Sham Aloch HaMoichlan, you're eating your Kachin, Toysvus Yumoch Chafayim and Aleph, said Rab Leib, in those instances, you're not going to have a problem, and there won't be Aloch of Ein Yeshiva Bazar. Just to be Messiah with one Dvar Drush, and that is that there's a Yalkut Shemoyni in Tehillim. David HaMelech said, Achasha Alti Me'es Hashem. Amar Rab Abba Bar Kahana. So Rab Abba Bar Kahana said in Yalkut Shemoyni, this is a Medrash Pliya. What did he want? Achasha Alti Me'es Hashem. Malchus Sha'a. He wanted Malchus. That's what he wanted. Achasha Alti Me'es Hashem. Malchus Sha'a. So I saw in the Margolis Sayyam for Abruvi Margolis. It's on the Gemara that we just quoted in Perik Chelik. It's in the Sechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Breis. He says, Umatzasi B'Shem Agoyin Rabbi Yitzchak Yeruchim Diskin. I believe that was Rabbi Shulev Diskin's son. So he brings from Rabbi Yitzchak Yeruchim Diskin, who said Pshat, David HaMelech said, Achash Adem Yeis Hashem, Oysa Avakesh, says the Yalkud Malchus Sha'a. You know what the Pshat is? Because what did David HaMelech say right afterwards? Shifti Beveis Hashem. Shifti Beveis Hashem. David HaMelech wants to sit Beveis Hashem. Beveis Hashem is Lefnei Hashem. Beveis Hashem is the Azara. How could he sit Beveis Hashem? Ein Yeshiva Bazara. Oh, the Teretz is Malchus Sha'a. And Ein Yeshiva Bazara. Elo Lamalchi Beis Davil Bavad. So Achash Sha'alti Me'es Hashem. Zok the Medrash. Malchus Sha'a. Why Malchus Sha'a? Because David HaMelech said, Shifti Beveis Hashem, Kol Yumechai. So Pasha, Shifti Beveis Hashem means the Bismedrish. But the Yalkut's learning, Shifti Beveis Hashem is referring to the Azara. If it's referring to the Azara, Ein Yeshiva Bazara. A person can't sit in the Azara. Oh, a Melech, specifically a Melech that comes from Malchi Beis David, he's allowed to sit. Yeshiva, his Shifti Beveis Hashem is considered a Kiyam of Lefnei Hashem. Must be what David HaMelech was asking for when he said, Achat Sha'alti Beveis Hashem. Shifti Beveis Hashem, Malchus Sha'a.